On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Morena, Fabian Fanboy, how are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm also very well. What's happening in the movies? I mean, I know we're all sort of sitting at home at the moment, but what's going on?
Yeah, so the release schedule, the some of the marketing for the Auckland stuff is focusing on the 7th.
Yep.
presuming that we all come out of this, so I'm going to proceed along that presumption as well.
Okay.
The big notable film come out this week. It's a bummer timing wise because of what's happened. Is a very awesome New Zealand film called Cousins, which is adapted from a Patricia Grace novel, and it's kind of a generations spanning story about three cousins, amazingly, three young wahine who first encounter each other as kids in the early 50s, and then kind of, you sort of imagine the story, you sort of think from the title that they might all sort of grow up together or something, but they actually lead kind of quite separate lives.
Mm.
And the film jumps around in time. There's three different actors playing each character as kids, and then as kind of as young women, and then as adults, older adults. And it's sort of just about the pressures facing Māori women in this country, and how there's different paths we lead in life, and one of them has some mental illness issues that the film is a bit vague about, which I found a little bit frustrating. Sometimes when mental illness pops up in movies, it just morphs to suit what the story needs it to do in any one moment. But that's okay, that's a minor issue. This is a really, really salient film. It really got under my skin. Tears flowed. it's you know, the first thing that kind of needs to be acknowledged is that, you know, Māori women haven't had a lot of opportunities to tell the stories on the big screen in this country, and so it feels important and groundbreaking for that reason. It's also a great film. It's got great performances. Brian Grace Smith, who co-directed the film, plays the older version of one of the characters as well.
Mm.
And Rachel House is in there, and a few other familiar faces. Anna Scottney, who's a really cool young New Zealand actor, who played, I think the character's name was Angel, in Shortland Street. She was kind of hilarious in Shortland Street, and she was in The Breaker Operas. She plays the middle version of one of the characters. She's pretty amazing.
Mm.
And yeah, it's some of the timelines I have some questions about, going from sort of the 50s to now. I sort of thought maybe the contemporary scenes might have been set in the 90s or something, but there's smartphones, and so it seems to me now some of the timing doesn't quite add up if you really scrutinize it. But again, a minor quibble. This is a wonderful movie that everyone should see on Sunday.
It is one that I think you have to watch in the cinema. It's a real big screen experience, this one.
Yeah. You saw it, didn't you?
I saw it, and at the end of the screening, you will feel like the lights come up a little bit too soon.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people being like, oh no, don't look at me, in the audience. It's a pretty amazing movie. I think it's going to be one of those ones that we talk about in the canon of New Zealand films, important New Zealand films, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned that the lights come up too soon, because I wanted a bit more. It's not often that I will complain about a movie ending too soon or there not being enough of a film. Usually I'm grateful for anything that... but I actually... I would have liked a bit more time with the younger versions of these characters. I definitely felt it. The film is beautifully laid out, but occasionally things just skipped ahead a bit quickly. I thought, what do you think of that?
I don't know actually, because I read the book quite soon before watching the film, so I think I had the two things going on in my head while I was watching it, so I didn't feel right. that necessarily when I was watching the movie, but maybe that's because I was filling in blanks with stuff I'd read in the book about a week ago, so I don't know, I can't answer that one with any clarity, but I didn't necessarily feel like it was lacking, but I think it is kind of, it's so expansive and it's so much about, you know, intergenerational stuff that I think you can't really manage to get a completed story out of any, you know, 2 hour long film. But I think that maybe is part of the point too.
They're packing a lot in. They're definitely packing a lot in. And I think I understand what you're saying, Fabian. Like, I definitely wanted to see more of the young women because that's the start of their journey, and they definitely painted a great world and you wanted to spend a little bit more time in it. But I guess you can only do so much within a feature film length.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Rachel just referred to it then as a 2 hour film. It's a 90 minute film.
Oh, see, I'm bad at gauging time anyway.
I would have liked it to have been a 2 hour film. I mean, of course, there are restrictions and factors to, you know, there's always some compromise that's going to happen with a novel. But I was conscious of the fact that I remember thinking, if this was playing out a novel, I feel like, yeah, the gaps might have been filled in a bit more, but I mean, it's a, I think it's an amazing film that everyone should see. I just wanted there to be a bit more of it.
I gotta say, if that's your only criticism, that's pretty good criticism.
What did you think of the mental illness side of things? Do you think that they could have been a bit clearer about that?
I think I didn't find it an issue necessarily when I watched it, because I think it became more about the character Mata as a person rather than with her you know, whatever it is that she was experiencing. I think that was maybe something that if there'd been more time on Mata as a character, particularly when she was in her 20s, that might have been maybe focused on a little bit more. But I don't know, again, maybe this is because I just read the book, and you do obviously get a lot more in the book, so maybe I was filling in spaces with that I'd just read. But, you know, I didn't necessarily feel
detail?
That.
There's also
Do they have her diagnosed or anything in the book?
But there's also a real sadness of, if there is an underlying mental health issue in a character that in, I suppose, as you mentioned, Fabian, it's meant to be the 50s, so much of that goes undiagnosed and there are no answers, and that leaves you with a real sadness of if only we could have put a label to this, or, you know, maybe it was nurture more than pre-existing nature, just kind of shipped about from child's home to child's home. The real sadness is looking at what we did to young children in this country, and we're starting to make a lot of films that look at both young girls' homes and young boys' homes as the start of a lot of generational trauma. So maybe the fact that it is unsaid and is unknown, you get more of a like, oh God, what have we done to our children?
Yeah, that's a good point. Rachel, did they go into more detail about that in the book?
It not really. No, I think in the book it's framed. It's framed in the same way that it's framed in the film, but also because you're within the character's head a lot, which actually happens in the movie, and I thought really well displayed.
It's
in
hard
the film.
To do fragments of memory, and
so hard.
They did it really well.
But perhaps what you get a little bit more of in the book, because you just get a bit more time with it, is more the kind of tikanga side of it as well, like the things that are going on that are more cultural rather than like mental health related. And that was something that I expected to see more of in the movie, and you get a little bit of it towards the end without spoiling it for anybody who hasn't read it or seen it yet, but I think maybe in the book there's a little bit more around that aspect of Mata's character, but this isn't a spoiler, this is pretty much in all the press releases, and also if you have read the book. But Mata's character is a seer, so she can see her tupuna and her tipuna, and so I think there's a bit more of that touched on in the book, and it's less explicit maybe in the film.
Yeah, that's interesting. I might have to read this book.
You should. It's bloody good. Honestly, I wept like a big baby, but it's pretty incredible. I've thought about it every day since I saw it, so that would be my recommendation. I think people should go and check out Cousins in the big cinema.
Definitely do that on the 7th, as you say, Fabian. Have you been hitting any old classics, things that have been keeping you happy through this week lockdown?
No, but there are a couple of other films coming out this week that I should briefly mention.
All right, what have we got?
Raya and the Last Dragon is a new Disney CGI animated number that is getting the same release model as Mulan, in that you can pay $40 to watch it on Disney Plus if you want. This is getting amazing reviews. I think it's also playing in theatres here, I think. And there's a troubled film called Chaos Walking, which stars Daisy Ridley from Star Wars and Tom Spider-Man.
Tom Spider-Man.
I know who you mean.
And this is a film that was shot like 4 years ago and then was deemed to need reshoots, but the stars were a bit off busy making Spider-Man and Star Wars. So they took several years and then they reshot some parts of it 2 years ago. It sounds like a giant mess of a film.
Oh, no.
I want to see it. It's like a sci-fi action thing. But the big premise is that it's on a planet where I think it's all dudes except for... And then Daisy Ridley shows up. But you can see their thoughts.
Smurfette. I have read this book, Fabian. This was a book that I loved when I was 14. Yeah.
Stop showing us all up with your reading.
My reading, my twiddle, my moustache. No, this was a series of books that I obsessed over. You can see their thoughts. It's one of those things that when I heard that they were making it into a movie, I was like, how? Literally, how are you going to do that with a movie? So I also would like to see this, and I'm slightly expecting a car crash.
I think Daisy Ridley is wearing Mila Jovovich's wig from The Fifth Element in this film.
I'm interested.
And in the trailer, the visual representation of the thoughts, they kind of look like sort of see-through slideshows up around the head. And just that idea alone is like, you know they're not going to...
Oh, we've lost him. Oh, no. Fabian, can you hear us? Can you hear us in the void? Maybe not.
No. Maybe he's changed form and we can only see his thoughts now as opposed to hearing them.
Exactly. If he can hear us, thank you very much, Fabian Fanboy, for a fantastic roundup of some good films to keep an eye out for. Fingers crossed when we can get back into the cinemas.
Yes, this Sunday.
This Sunday.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you very much, Fabian Fanboy.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
So that's a couple of